Welcome, everyone. I'm John Melke, and it is a real pleasure to be joined today by Laura Schultz. Laura is Environmental Education Manager here at UW-Parkside and is also a lecturer in the Environmental Sciences program. One of Laura's many responsibilities is coordinating activities at the Root River Environmental Education Community Center, which is located on 6th Street in Racine. And Laura is a 2011 graduate of UW-Parkside as a geosciences major. Laura, I am glad you're with us on Parkside today.
Oh, thank you, John.
So tell us a little bit about how the, we'll call it the REC, rather than going through Root River Environmental Education Community Center every time, because the show only is a half hour long. How does the REC come about? What's a little bit of the background and history on the center?
Sure. UW-Parkside was approached by actually the city of Kenosha around 2006, 2007, that they wanted something to be done with the basement of the Southport Beach House in Kenosha. Tom Schneibelt, he worked in the Center for Community Partnerships at the time, and a geoscience professor, John Skelbeck, got together and came up with the idea of opening an environmental center. And so that was called Cedar in the basement of the Southport Beach House. At the time they were applying for grants and funding to cover Cedar, they were talking to a granting agency that the mayor of Racine at the time was serving on the board for. And he was like, well, why aren't you opening one in Racine? I have a spot on the Root River. And so then they rewrote the grant and opened two centers. And so we opened Cedar and REC. In Racine.
Okay. How did you get involved with REC? How does Laura Schultz become the person who's coordinating those activities?
So about 3 years ago now, I saw a job posting on the Parkside website
there's
an environmental education manager, and I was interested in doing environmental education. And part of the job was running the REC, and I applied for the job, and they hired me, so that's how I got it.
Tell us a little bit about your educational experience here at UW-Parkside. What was that like?
Sure. I went here for my undergraduate degree in geosciences. So I worked with a couple different faculty on different experiments doing mainly. I looked with some different water experiments, looking at clay and how different antibiotics absorb to the clays. Then I worked with a different professor on some atmospheric science modeling. So that was really cool. I felt like the geoscience program here in particular is very hands-on, and there were a lot of lab activities and outdoor classes, which was pretty great. And I was just very interested in a lot of the different things that they did here. The class sizes were really small, so that was very nice too for that program. A lot of my classes had maybe 5 to 10 students in the class, so that worked really well when we were doing outdoor type settings and experiments that it's hard to do when there's 50 students, but when there's only 10, it's a much easier experience. And I feel like I got a lot more out of it because we did have small class sizes.
So how much of that outside lab activity, how much of that took place right here on the physical UW-Parkside campus, and how much was maybe going off campus to other areas?
Oh, a lot of it was on campus. Yeah, we use the Pike River a lot on campus for different geoscience classes, and we also have a pretty elaborate network of monitoring wells on campus that were used quite a bit for in some of our hydrogeology courses too.
And where were some of the places off campus that maybe you did some work at as a student?
Well, actually, I went to the REC a couple times. Geoscience Club at the time used to do the Department of Natural Resources has a citizen monitoring program for different waterways in the state. And the Geoscience Club was monitoring the Root River at the REC location. Then we had a few locations on the Pike River, one in Pets, and then one at the Parkside campus. So we went to those different places. We went to the Southport Beach House and did some lake monitoring there. We went to Chewaukee Prairie quite a bit. I think that part of it was technically Parkside's campus, though.
It is, right, yeah.
So correct. I don't know if that quite counts. But we had to get in a car and drive there, so maybe it counts for a little bit. I think those are the major ones that we went to.
So you were familiar with the Root River Center prior to saying, oh, this is something I might like to do professionally.
Yeah, I actually volunteered the day that it opened. My friend and I were the ones out front holding the sign that said free kayak rides. It was raining. It was like a terrible day, but we had a lot of people show up, which was pretty cool. So I was familiar with it too, because we went there to do our monitoring once a month.
Yeah, and who who uses the Root River Center? I'm going to call it Root River Center or Rec Center, but who really is the who are some of your main key stakeholders and users of the center?
Oh, sure. We do public rentals on the weekends during the summer months from the beginning of June to the end of September. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are from Racine. We do get some folks up from Kenosha and some folks from Chicago area, too, seem to come up to us quite a bit, which is pretty cool. But primarily the Racine community is the public that comes. We are located in the city of Racine, which is pretty cool because there's not a lot of natural environments in the middle of the city. So connecting people to the river is really neat. We really get excited when we can tell the neighborhood is coming to participate because they come on their bikes or they tell us about how they've always lived in the neighborhood and they go fishing and things. But a lot of it is actually used by the Racine community, I would say. On the weekends, we get a lot of, it's primarily public rentals. We do private bookings during the weeks. We get some school groups come out. We've gotten Girl and Boy Scout troops have come out and done canoeing and kayaking. We've had some classes from Parkside have come out and done things with us. We have a pretty close connection with 21st Century Preparatory School.
Okay.
That's located, it's on Mound Avenue right near the rec, which is actually Parkside's charter school, which is pretty cool.
Because
they can just walk right to us. So they've come to us for 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah.
Routinely for canoeing and kayaking, and they've done different volunteer projects with us.
I know I'd been there a couple times when it was students from Racine Unified had come in, and they did different classes there, and I thought, boy, what a great spot to, you know, to come in, and as opposed to just sitting in a classroom at one of the schools, to be actually right there next to the river and be learning about pollution and what goes on in the waterway that's right there in the city.
Yeah, we host, it's called the Watershed Program. It's now run by, her name is Nancy Carlson. She's the naturalist at Hawthorne Hollow. And it's a program for all fourth graders in Racine Unified School District come to it. So it's a district-wide field trip. And I think this is the 11th year it's been held at the rec. And they come out and learn about water pollution and water quality. And they look at the little water critters that live in the waterways and try to get them to make a connection to the river and understand how their impacts and what they do in their backyard really does impact the river, which is pretty cool. So this program has been going on for almost 11 years, and I've had students in my college classes that I'm teaching now that have told me that they participated in this program and they remember it, which is really neat.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, because now I feel just a little bit older because you came to the rec as a middle school student. It really sounds like there's a number of partnerships involved with the rec center between Hawthorne Hollow and Racine Unified. Is that do the partnerships, it would seem that they really, really help drive that?
Yeah, the rec actually itself is a partnership. So it's run by Parkside, and the staff and the equipment is all paid by Parkside and owned by Parkside. But the building and the property that it's on is actually owned by the city of Racine.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a pretty neat thing that we have this partnership with the city where they're willing to support us by basically letting us run this environmental center rent free and giving us a building and a land and a boat launch to do this. So then we provide the people that run it and the equipment and things. But yeah, the rec definitely is a giant partnership, which is great. We've worked with Eco Justice Center in Racine, has done some things out there. Root Pike Wynn is a really big supporter of the rec too. Greening Greater Racine has been great about helping us advertise our different things that we've got going on. So yeah, it's been a lot of fun meeting all the different environmental organizations and people who are really active. I actually have the Sierra Club is coming out there tonight. We're hosting an event for them this evening.
And being a longtime Racine resident myself, I think this is fair to say, but the area that is the rec right now, to me, is being much more utilized than it was prior to the rec being there. I mean, I kind of you would drive by it and see this building and wonder, well, what is it doing anything, or are they doing anything with this particular building? And is that a fair statement that much more utilized than before it started?
Yeah. So the building and the location where we're at used to be a marina. So out front, we have a canoe that's kind of was the marina that calls it Captain Cove was the name of the marina. And at some point the marina went under and the city acquired the land. So,
okay.
I mean, it was active when there was a marina, but then it had been dormant for quite some time. And the building that we're in was actually just a storage shed for the city. So yeah, no, it wasn't very active. It wasn't really well publicized that there was a canoe launch there. People have been fishing there for a long time. We hear stories about people catching fish off of our dock and during the salmon jumping season of October.
Yeah.
But other than that, yeah, no, it's definitely getting more use, I would say.
Yeah. And how has the rec center, since the time it was first introduced, from your perspective, how has it changed over the years?
The rec center, when it first started, it was run out of the Center for Community Partnerships on campus.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, you know, the budget crisis, and the rec kind of went through kind of a quiet period for a while. And there was a little bit of time where people didn't quite know where it was going to fit in the Parkside community.
Mm.
And my dean of my college, Emmanuel Otu, caught wind that the rec was looking for a home. And so he picked it up under the College of Natural and Health Sciences, mm-hmm. which I think having support from a college has made it a lot more stable. In the past, we've had a lot of AmeriCorps Vistas running the rec and like one-year type positions, and having a stable director in charge of the rec, I think, has allowed it to grow into what it's becoming today, which is pretty cool. We've had people come out that used to say that they'd come 4 or 5 years ago and there wouldn't be anyone else canoeing. And now when they come out, we have to tell them sometimes they have to wait because we run out of kayaks, which is a great feeling that's got high demand. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's definitely a good thing. Here, pick anyone you want. That's not what, you know, you want to see it being utilized. We talked a little bit about some of the education opportunities with the rec center. What are the kind of the themes of the when students come in? Is it pollution? Is it water use? Is it what's living in the river? What kind of things are being talked about and taught?
Sure, we've done so on Saturday mornings and during the summer we run. It's called the Voyager series, and it's for kids 9 and up. And we do different environmental education workshops. And in that series, we cover water quality. We cover the basics of canoeing and kayaking and water safety. We talk about different animals that live in the Root River. We do a whole day on turtles. We do a day on different birds that live in the river or around the river, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
The rec is in an urban area where there are a lot of invasive plants. So we do spend a lot of time talking about native plants and invasive species in Wisconsin and different plants that can be identified and removed because they are invasive.
Mm-hmm.
We have some rain gardens on the rec facility. So we talk about different rain gardens and things that you can do to implement green practices in your own backyard.
Sure.
Which is pretty cool. But yeah, I would say those are the main topics. When I get school groups, they usually want to either canoe or kayak. Learn about water quality, or the turtle workshop has been very popular. We have a stretch of the river that we're on. It goes right near the Washington Park Golf Course, and there's a lot of down trees in that area, and lots of turtles like to sit on that. So it works out really well for that workshop.
Yeah, yeah. So it sounds like the rec was maybe at a little bit of a, and I don't like the cliche phrase, but a little bit of a tipping point where, you know, it's kind of wondering where it's going to get some funding or direction, and now it has that. What do you see the next, you know, 2-3 years for the rec center? Where do you see that going? What's going on with it?
Well, when the rec first opened, we were open on Friday and Thursdays during the day as well, and I would like to get popular enough that we can increase our hours and not just do Saturday and Sunday public rentals, but potentially have public rentals during the week.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be really good. New boats is always a great thing. We're currently probably out of space for new boats, to be honest. We have the dream of building a boathouse down by the dock, so we don't have to. There's a terrible hill. We have to carry the boats up and down. Right. But that would be probably a long-term dream of building a boathouse down by the river so we don't have to carry things. But I really do see it hopefully increasing the hours and having more days that people can come out and rent public canoes and kayaks.
And what kind of, from a Parkside student standpoint, do we have a number of students that participate in the rec? And I know Josh Carlson, who was an outstanding graduate award recipient for the May 18 graduating class. He spent a lot of time at the rec. Are you working through various academic programs to bring students in?
Yeah, so the majority of my workers, my summer hourly workers that help me with the canoe and kayak rentals on the week, and then when I get private bookings during the week, the majority of them have been Parkside students or Parkside alumni.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think all of them actually have been Parkside students or Parkside alumni. So that's a way that they've gotten involved, is actually getting paid to work at the facility. For classes, I know I bring my classes out there for environmental studies. We do some water monitoring from canoes, which is pretty fun. I've worked with some of the biology professors. They're coming out this semester. Actually, we're going to go for a paddle and look for bats. So that's going to be more of an evening paddle. John Skalbeck, who helped open the rec, generally brings his students out, and they do different water monitoring activities on the river as well. So, yeah, there is involvement from the community. I'd like to see more involvement from the campus to get more students out there doing different things, because I think a lot of students still don't know we exist, and we'd like to increase awareness of that. But the Environmental Club has been great. They come out on Make a Difference Day typically and help us with different activities we've got going on. But yeah, just connecting this, getting more students out is always a goal. We had the RAs, I guess, the 1 year came too for their summer end of the training, hopefully the school year goes well party type thing, which was pretty fun.
Yeah. When people come out to the rec, and I don't want to sound like, you know, oh, well, I lived in Racine, so I know this. But people could have a view of the Root River as not being maybe the most recreational resource in the city. And whether that's fair or not to say, maybe you could argue that. But what kind of, when people get a chance to get out on the river, kayak, canoe, what's their perspective? What do you hear them talking about?
They're generally pretty amazed at how beautiful it is on the river, because we are right in the middle of the city.
Yeah.
The one route that we send them on, they actually go up towards Island Park. And for a while there, it's sort of difficult to tell you're in the middle of the city. It's very green. There's a lot of, we see a lot of blue and green herons. There's turtles. So we hear that a lot, that it's really pretty. We hear a lot, too, that people enjoy the unique perspective and view from the water. You can, from the wreck, you can paddle down towards downtown Racine. Mm-hmm. And they really enjoy looking at the different, like the drawbridge, or the drawbridges the different buildings that are along the way there. They've commented on that before too, that's really cool to see it. The 6th Street Bridge in Racine is actually pretty cool. They have these really unique gargoyles and creatures designed on them, which is a really neat bridge because you can't see it from the road, how beautiful the bridge is. You can only see it from the water or the bike path.
Right.
So a lot of people comment on that too, that's pretty cool to see.
Yeah. And it is for someone who hasn't gone and taken advantage of the rec, who hasn't kayaked or canoed, being out there when you're on the water and it's quiet gives you that chance to kind of appreciate the surroundings, right? You see trees, you see the things, like you mentioned, the bridge is a really interesting thing to take a look at when you're paddling under there and see the artwork that goes into it. And then when Chancellor's leadership team did that 2 or 3 years ago, I think. And the first thing I did when I got back was looked the bridge up online to find out, what are they doing with it? Because it is a little bit of a controversy in terms of they're going to have to replace that 6th Street Bridge someday. And do they go as Art Deco-ish as it is now? Do they do something that may be a little less costly? You know, what do they do? So it gives people an appreciation for some of those things.
Yeah, I guess the city is planning on replacing the bridge. It was in the paper a few months ago that the contractor they've got has assured them that they will incorporate some of the original artistic design into the new plan, which we're excited about because we really enjoy telling people to look for the gargoyle bridge when they go out kayaking.
How about return customers to the rec? Do you find that once people come there and try paddling either in a kayak or canoe or getting to know the river and the surroundings a bit, do you find they're coming back?
Oh, yeah. We also sell season passes. So once you buy the season pass, you can come as much as you want on the weekends to paddle. And we know many of our customers by names. We know their background stories. We know what boat they want when they come. Yeah, we do get quite a few returning customers, which is great. We've had a few that have come back multiple years now, which has been a lot of fun that we've gotten to know them. A couple of them, the staff is really close with, so when we have our staff retreat, we invite them to come with too and different things, which is fun that we've had some really loyal customers over the years.
Right, right. How has, in the time that you've been involved with the rec, have you seen any change in the route? Is it improving, not improving, staying stable? Where do you see it at the moment?
Are you talking about the river or the center?
Yeah, sorry,
the river.
The river itself. Yeah, what what, I mean, again, looking at my own personal experience from a lot of years ago, it seems to be more, it seems higher. Now, whether that was just a seasonal thing, but it seems a little bit higher that you could make that paddle right up to into 6th Street, up into Island Park, where, you know, years ago, maybe you would kind of got stuck near the golf course. Or is that consistent with the river, or what's its condition?
Yeah, I would say, so I started there 3 years ago, and the first summer that I worked there, we sent, if you go upstream from the wreck, we tell people that you can paddle around Island Park on a good day. Mm-hmm. And that year, it did get a little tricky at one spot to make it all the way around the island. And both last year and this year, they've been able to make it around the island both years just fine. The water levels have been higher. Some of my customers that have been loyal to the wreck before I started at the wreck have talked about that there were years that they couldn't even make it up to Island Park because the river was so low. So right. Yeah, it has been higher the past couple of years compared to what it has been in some past years.
Yeah. What are some of the, we talked a little bit about maybe like where you'd like to see the wreck go in the future. What do you see as some of the challenges or barriers to the wreck continuing to grow and progress?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Try to ask one good question.
You have to, right?
Yeah,
I mean, funding is always an issue, right? To continue to grow, we need additional funds. The building itself that the wreck is in is probably going to need some drastic repairs at some point. Mm-hmm. It's just an old garage. The gutters are starting to fall off. Our deck is probably going to need to be replaced at some point. We have a lot of landscaping challenges out at the wreck. We have a ton of invasive species. It would be wonderful to get more of a native landscape out there. So I would say some of the infrastructure is probably going to be our challenge. Some of our boats are getting older and will need to be replaced eventually.
Sure.
But yeah, I would say primarily.
So funding which is at the root or at the base of a lot of different things going on, but funding certainly an issue. When you kind of going back to your time as a student, what was it about the environmental studies or the environmental sciences that did you know that was something you wanted to pursue? Or when you got to Parkside, was that something, a path down you went, oh, I'm gonna head over this direction?
Sure. When I was in high school, and still sort of now, I wanted to be a farmer. It was my ultimate dream. And I came to one of Parkside, did a like an explore the science majors day or something on a Saturday morning. So I came out and I actually met one of the geoscience professors, and she talked about how she was a soil scientist and showed me her lab, and I met a bunch of students, and I was just like, oh, this seems cool. So then I enrolled in geoscience and liked the classes. So I kept taking it. And that's basically my story. But mainly it's because I wanted to be a farmer, and I thought soils and geoscience was close to farming. So.
Sure. It seems to fit together. Do you get a chance to talk to, thinking again back to the wreck and students coming in from a middle school, that with the I won't say emphasis, but interest in getting more females involved in the sciences, do you get a chance to talk to younger girls about, you know, would they be interested in getting into environmental studies or environmental sciences or geosciences? And if you do, what's kind of the pitch that they get?
Oh, that's a great question too. I'm actually taking over for the college. Our college runs a GEMS work conference every year on campus. So that's Girls Empowered by Math and Science.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's specifically a conference for middle school girls within Racine Unified School District.
And you have a lot of them. I mean, there's a lot of students that come out for that, isn't there?
I think there were 400 last year, and there's going to be more this year, is what they tell me. So that's a huge conference. And the whole conference is about obviously empowering girls to pursue STEM and different activities with that. Within the environmental science and like more of the geoscience things, I haven't really had a hard time convincing girls that that's something they should care about and that's something they should do.
Hmm.
For the most part, I have a lot of my students are female that are taking the environmental studies classes. My crew at the rec this year was almost all girls. That's what I had apply. Yeah. So I think the interest it's already there. I think they're already pursuing it and interested in pursuing environmental science, which is great.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I mean, not to put you on the spot, but do you think that as a female yourself, that has an influence? That is that something when younger girls come in and they see you, do they see themselves as, oh, here's a person that I can maybe relate to a little differently than if it was, let's say, a guy if they were encountering a male in that position.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. Because I know I had that as a like a middle school and high school girl. If I saw a woman doing a job that I thought was pretty cool, like you relate obviously better to them than to a man. Yeah. So, I mean, I like to think so. I can't say that had any conversations with middle schoolers. I'm like, do I inspire you? But I like to think that I do.
Yeah. Well, you would think that if they show an interest in the that and they're interested in coming back, that the answer would be yes, you know, that you're doing something right there. So
yeah, the one thing that I have noticed when we get like particularly middle school and high school girls at the rec is that they're always very hesitant to help carry boats because they're convinced they can't do it. And our staff is very persistent on yes, you can.
Yep.
And the teachers will usually be like, or I've had some in the past be like, oh, I'll send down a couple guys to like help you get the boats. And we're always like, no, we want the girls. Like we need to show them that they can do this type of stuff too.
Yeah, yeah. So do you have people fall in the river when they're paddling off of kayaks and canoes?
Yes, they're usually not behaving or doing some stand. Well, we always tell people don't stand up, you'll be fine. We had one customer come back that he was like, oh, I fell off 5 times. And we're like, what were you doing? He was like, well, I stood up and was, you know, paddling my girlfriend. And we're like, well, that's what you shouldn't be doing. For the most part, they're goofing around. Some people do fall in just because of a mistake, but most of the time they're goofing around
given them proper personal flotation devices. They have their life jackets on, so they're safe when they fall into the roof.
Yes, we've had a few flip that are like, well, we tested out your life jacket, it works, which is good.
Well, it must be what's the thing that maybe you like, what's the thing you like best about being involved with the rec?
Oh, I like talking to the different people that come out. I really enjoy talking to people about the rec and hearing their stories. Making connections with the customers that come out frequently has been a lot of fun. I enjoy getting to know them. Working with the different students that I've had at the rec over the last 3 years has been really great. A lot of them have become really passionate about the rec and have really taken under, like Josh Carlson, you mentioned, came up with all these projects when he worked there. He built us a model of the Root River. He cut down a gazillion trees that needed to be removed. Like, a lot of them just really go above and beyond the duties that were in the job description that I gave them and just start doing projects and taking on initiatives that they want to get achieved at the rec too, which is really cool for me to see. And I really enjoy working with students who are motivated to explore things that they're passionate about and not just handle the cash for canoe and kayak rentals that go above and beyond what we need them to do.
And it I'm guessing here, but maybe the same kind of thing if I ask you, what do you enjoy most about being on the faculty at UW Parkside?
Oh, it's the students. Yeah. I think we've got a really good student body. I mean, it might be a little biased, but the environmental studies students are really great. They're a friendly group. They're just like happy go lucky and want to save the world. And they're just really good to work with. Yeah. The faculty here too are really great. The personnel that work at Parkside have all been very friendly, very supportive. I think we've got a really good community of people who work here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what's kind of some of your goals as a, kind of stepping away from the rec for a second, as a faculty person, where do you see your opportunities to grow that position?
Well, teaching within environmental studies, it's a newer program. It's only been around for about two, three years now. And the minor has been around for a while, but the major itself is relatively new. So I'd say one of my goals is to help the program grow, which is it is doing, which is really great. I'd like to get it to spot where the program is large enough that it's sustainable and we have good numbers and our students are successful and getting jobs in their field and are happy with the education that they're getting here.
Yeah. So if you get 2 minutes, and we've got about 2 minutes left in the program, you get 2 minutes to give your reason to the young person who you've encountered at the rec to attend UW Parkside. What's your 2 minute speech to that person?
Oh, I would say that UW Parkside, it's a friendly community. There's smaller classes. You can tell the teachers actually care about their students and really want them to succeed. I think at a lot of larger universities, the professors are more interested in their research and their graduate students and don't really make that personal connection with undergrad students. And I would say that here a lot of the professors go above and beyond to help you succeed. I think there's a lot of, I'd say there's a lot more support here than some of the other universities around the area for helping students succeed and giving them what they need. I would say that a lot of it is just, and it's a great community. The people here are friendly. It's a beautiful campus, which is really great. If you're interested in doing the sciences, we have great, like if you're interested in pre-med, which I'm sure you've had on the radio at some point, They're like, placement is insane. They get everyone into medical school that wants to go in, basically. We've got a lot of successful programs. And yeah, I think it's a nice little school.
And that's a great point, because I don't believe we've had pre-med on.
Oh, maybe you should.
Yeah, maybe we need to do that. Well, as Laura, I certainly appreciate you taking time to be on Parkside today with us. Good luck at the rec. And I know it must be a little bit of a bittersweet time of year, because you're kind of getting to the end of the paddling and canoeing season. But then it won't be long before you get to think about how to get it started up again.
Yeah, we're just about to approach the salmon season, though, which is pretty great. When the salmon start jumping and they almost land in people's boats, it's really fun. So I'm excited about that. But yeah, it is always bittersweet when the rec closes down.
Okay, well, good luck in 2019, and we'll have you back on to again sometime to talk more about the Root River Environmental Education Community Center in Racine.
You got it.
Thank you. Thank you, Laura. Thank you.